Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
It's distracting.
You just turn off his video for him.
Can I do that? I can do that. What's your password?
I'm hoping that it provides you a strange energy. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm thinking his password's Kermit. What do you think?
Rainbows.
Unicorns.
Yeah. So just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah. Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry box with some shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi weekly Pacers podcast. Today is March 20th, 2016. This is episode 170. Company from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering games against Atlanta, Boston, Toronto, and OKC. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What's up, Undebeatables? Shout out to March Madness. This was probably one of the greatest weekends in basketball every year. Shout out to Middle Tennessee State for wrecking everyone's bracket. That was awesome. I appreciate it. I like this time of year.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Shout out to my parents. Dad had a birthday this last week on St. Patrick's Day, and mom is healthy and home from the hospital and recovering, so thanks for all your thoughts, guys, and doing it without me last week quite well, I think. So thanks for putting together my favorite podcast.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Definitely missed you last week, Colson, but super glad to hear Moms is doing great. Shout out, Moms, Colson, we love you. Also, quick shout out to Klay Thompson. Got his 1,000th career three and did it in 372 games.
That's crazy.
Took Curry 369, so he's slacking.
Wow.
And I think just... I didn't write down what Ray Allen was, but I think Ray Allen was like 395 or something.
Yeah, these guys are faster than the old men.
Yeah.
As it were.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. The listeners have already turned us off. I started with a stat. It's not what I do. It's not what I do.
And shockingly for you, a Warrior stat. I mean, I haven't heard any of those from you this year.
Don't like watching them play at all.
Let's get away from these numbers. I want to talk about emotions now, particularly anger. It's probably, I think anger is underrated as an emotion, but it's got a bright future. Harper, you told me about this. Matt Barnes got in trouble this week. All he was trying to do was go into the locker room. Then they had to stop him, and there was some yelling. What happened there, man?
Well, so the Grizz and the Bucks are going head-to-head. The Bucks actually had this one in hand, and late in the game, Matt Barnes goes to the rim, and John Henson decides he doesn't get the shot up. Rejects him emphatically late, and is really, really proud of himself, and runs like three rows up into the stands. Matt Barnes not happy about that, and had to be separated. Double techs issued, and that was Henson's second, because he's a tech machine. So that's effectively an ejection. He has to go to the locker room, and Matt Barnes is like, oh, this is a really good time for me to go change clothes. So he decides to go to the locker room too. NBA, apparently not a fan of chasing the other guy down the, what do they call that?
The tarmac, I think.
It's the gangway, I think.
The gangway. Or the gangplank, if Matt Barnes has anything to say about it. Anyway, he earns himself a one-game suspension and a sizable fine. I guess the real question is, who's a bigger douche here?
This was also with like 5.5 seconds left in the game, and he just, you know, sends this one into the stands.
And then himself into the stands.
Yes. Right.
As with all things involving Matt Barnes is probably the biggest douche. Right? I mean, he's... Didn't he sleep with his coach's wife or something over the summer? There was a barbecue situation involved with him and Derek Fisher.
No, I think it was Matt Barnes' wife.
Matt Barnes' ex. So it was actually Derek Fisher was the super huge douche there.
Okay, yeah. My bad, Matt Barnes.
Yeah, and maybe Matt Barnes is just defending himself. You know, I mean, he's trying to stand up for himself because John Henson went too far in the celebration. Maybe he went a little overboard, but John Henson is a tech machine. So, which was also the name of my band in high school. Tech machine.
Huh? Yeah. What kind of music was that? I don't remember that one.
You'd think it was tech. No. But no,
it was classical.
Was that the Electric Triangle Band?
It was his jug band. It's just him and a jug. The thing that I found most hilarious about this was the reason that Barnes got a one-game suspension was for quote-unquote verbally challenging John Henson. Now, if the NBA is going to start throwing out verbally challenging one-game suspensions, couldn't you just do that to everybody every game?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that happen every game?
Everybody just has a check for $15,000 when they hit the court.
Yeah.
Hand that over at the scorer's table. I don't know. It was ridiculous both ways for sure. Did Henson overdo it? Yeah. But, you know, can you really get mad at a guy for just blocking your shot?
Yeah, I think I'd follow someone to a locker room.
Yeah, these guys are hyper-competitive, and they got big egos, and they're going to talk smack to each other. And I don't understand why. I mean, I know you're not allowed to go to the other person's locker room. That's clear. But I don't know if this is a suspendable offense. Maybe it's because Matt Barnes has always kind of been a douchebag.
Well, shouldn't this be a teaching moment to the coaches? Like, if you've got two hyper-competitive guys in a game that's no longer really in question, shouldn't neither of those guys be on the court? Because bad things can only happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we learned that in the brawl.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's why that shouldn't have...
There was no reason for those Pacers to be on the floor.
Right. Or Ben Wallace to be on the floor, for that matter.
Mm. Anyhow. We got 4 games of Pacer basketball to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. First one happened while we were recording last week. I happened to see the score and decided not to watch this ballgame.
Mm.
It's because you're not a masochist, Joey.
Pacers lose this one, Atlanta. This is last Sunday night, March 13th. Lose 75-104. This game was rough. The second half, the Pacers actually closed the gap made it close. Got the lead down to just 8 points, and then Atlanta runs off a 20-0 run. and just finishes it right there, right in the third quarter. 37 points they put up in the third quarter, finishing off the game. 7 threes in that quarter. 29-point victory. Were any of you brave enough to watch this game?
Unfortunately, yes. I tried to avoid the score.
Way to take one for the team.
Yeah. And then thought I had seen the score and thought I saw that the Pacers came out on top. So I was like, oh, great. I'll watch this. Sure. And then by midway through the third quarter, I'm like, how are they going to score 120 points in this game? I don't think that that's going to happen. Yeah, this was brutal. I mean, Paul George, probably the worst game of his season this game. Maybe this or that San Antonio game when Kawhi Leonard shut him down. But none of the guys could really get anything going. They kind of looked like they were running through a fog. And I don't know if part of that was due to the back-to-back nature of the situation or the fact that they got into Atlanta, you know, early in the evening because they had a afternoon game the day before and took advantage of the, went to the aquarium. I heard they have a nice aquarium in Atlanta.
What you do?
Yeah.
Do they have bottle service at the aquarium?
Yeah. When the Pacers come to town.
Not a good effort.
I'm assuming that Kent Bazemore was probably the man in charge guarding Paul George much of the night.
Yeah, it was him and Cephalosha.
Yep. Two really good defenders in this league. Paul George had his work cut out for him. They're a good team to begin with. They've got shot blockers in the lane. They've got two guys who really guard the position well. Mm-hmm. We needed something big from other guys. Like, look, Paul George is the kind of guy who can beat anybody at any given time, but there's going to be nights like this against duos like that. And we didn't get nearly enough from the other people on our team to make this thing work. The Rook played well.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that was not enough because no one helped him.
Right. And Glenn Robinson in some garbage time.
it doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, the silver, like, look, this was just a terrible game. This is a bad game. It's the second half of a back-to-back. We finally won one of these on the road last week. Apparently, that wasn't a cure-all. Yeah. We're still going to struggle in that regard. But we did split the season series with Atlanta. We won our two at home, and they get their two at home. So I'll take a split with a pretty darn good basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're playing really good basketball right now, too.
Very good basketball.
It was discouraging, though. I mean, coming off that narrow victory in Washington, beating San Antonio the way we did, you know, you really felt like we were kind of gaining some momentum, and then just to get destroyed was disheartening.
I'll tell you what, though. When we see these guys in the playoffs, if they can get out of their first-round matchup, Ty Lawson is going to be a series wrecker against
difference
that team.
Difference maker, yeah.
Okay.
So, we're good. I'm not concerned.
There was this article that came out the day after the game, basically just a recap of the game, and there were some interesting quotes from George Hill talking about, you know, we're not here just to make people happy. You know, we're here to win ball games, like blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He didn't really expand on what was going on there. Anybody want to wildly speculate as to what George Hill is all pissed about?
Yeah, they were talking about shot selection, right? I mean, make sure that people get the right amount of shots.
How many shots certain people were getting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's able to complain. You've got Paul George, of course, is the superstar. I don't know who else.
Take some shots.
Is Monte? Is he not getting enough shots?
I feel like maybe that's a knock on Monte, but Monte is apparently our veteran leader now. So I don't know who we would be.
He only took 9 shots in this game.
Yeah.
So I don't understand who was soaking up the shots.
Miles Turner is the guy who was soaking up the shots. He took 17, but he hit 9.
Yeah.
And he scored 19.
He was the only effective dude. So.
Right. So you wouldn't be yelling at him.
He wouldn't be yelling at him. We don't know that.
No, you're right. But I don't think this is just about this game. This is something he had to get off his chest, and he was angry because they'd lost, right?
Sure.
we need to change our culture. Things have to get better. We're going to get blown out like this occasionally sort of conversation.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me because the context going into that game was we had just been on a 3-game win streak where we had really nice wins against, you know, on the road in Washington, at home against the Spurs, and on the road in Dallas.
Yeah.
I think it's just something to keep an eye on because I don't know exactly what's going on in that locker room, but it seems like there's some discontent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the really strange thing for it coming from George Hill is that he's normally a very quiet and extremely measured professional.
Mm-hmm.
So my first thought is just that maybe he was trying a little bit too hard. You know what I mean? Something need to be said after a loss like that. And he knew that, but he just didn't quite get to the right thing, you know? Because I don't think he's, you know, a guy who's just going to start pointing fingers in the locker room. I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very generous take on that comment, Harper.
We'll keep an eye on it then.
Okay. Yeah, something smelled a little funky after that one. But you know, I mean, you're right. When you get blown out, it's not fun, and maybe you say some stuff. But you're right. What was crazy about it was from George Hill. You know, you're right. He is measured. He doesn't
and
talk
he's
a
not,
lot in the media.
He's not good at calling people out in the media. He's never done it. So we'll see how it plays.
So he's working on that part of his game. Is what you're saying?
He maybe should. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes guys need to be called out. He has never in his career done that. So
sure.
First attempt, not a win. He's 0-1.
Was he calling out Paul George? I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, to me, he has to be calling out Miles Turner.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, though.
I agree. It doesn't make any sense. But what do you think he's going to call out
Ellis,
Paul George?
It's Ellis or George is who he's calling out.
How can George Hill call out Paul George?
I don't know.
Like, that's just insane.
Well, I mean, maybe it was Monte. Maybe Monte Ellis felt like he should have been getting the ball more and take more shots. But again, that doesn't make sense because he has the ball in his hands a ton. So, I don't know. Who knows? Let's move on. I'm tired of talking about this ridiculously bad game.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
We got a better game Tuesday, March 15th. Pacers take on Boston at the Fieldhouse. And they win this one, 103-98. They beat the well-coached Boston Celtics. Paul George did rebound this game. No pun intended. He did have 7 boards, though. 25 points, 4 assists. On top of that, Isaiah Thomas, as he does, always seems to eat us up. 21.6 boards. These guys, they look good. They won a tough game down the stretch. I don't know what it is about Boston. I know this is wrong. They're third in the East. I have no respect for these guys. I look at their roster. I look at their roster, and I'm like, I don't know. Tyler Zellis, Jonas Jerebko, Evan Turner. And
you need quality minutes from Jared Solinger to win a game?
I don't know. But they, you know, they're third, and they're a good team. They're a good basketball team, I think is what it is. So
that I'll agree.
Yeah, they work their butts off.
Yeah, they
do. That's the thing that I took out of that game, is they just bring effort every possession. But I thought the Pacers did a good job in this game. I thought they bounced back. I thought the effort was obviously much better than it was in Atlanta. I thought they were moving the ball well, shooting it significantly better, and playing good, solid defense, you know, against a tough team. My favorite part was the little Isaiah Thomas, Monte Ellis tit for tat that they had there in the fourth quarter. They were kind of going back and forth. Both of them, they got a double tech at some point, just straight jawing with one another. I really wanted a microphone to hear what they were saying to one another. but it really motivated Monte, because after that, Monte, I think, outscored him 10-0 or something the rest of the game. So it's good to see. Good to see the old man getting engaged. I like it.
So Boston playing without Jay Crowder, and casual basketball fans probably say, who cares? But I think you guys know Jay Crowder is a heck of a good ball player, especially on the defensive side. They were playing a 3-guard lineup against us most of the night, and they just had not a soul out there that could guard Paul George.
Mm-mm.
We could have won this thing by 50 if Paul George wanted to score up and down the floor. But what I really loved about his effort in this game This felt like LeBron 5 years ago to me. He spent the first three quarters being a distributor, helping his team be in the right places, and then in the fourth quarter, just kind of turned it on, created some space. This was a really mature game, I thought, from Paul George. Really liked the way that he attacked that team. And, you know, 25.7 boards, but also had four steals and was just – we moved the ball well against a really good defensive unit. This was – this felt like a really good win against a really high-seeded team in the East. This felt really, really good. And Paul George – gets the MVP like every night, but this one's like a this one gets an asterisk. This well, he one was special.
He was working his ass off, and I even tweeted during the game that you know he his shorts they were wearing the Hickories, and by the middle of the third quarter, maybe even earlier, his shorts had changed from yellow to orange. Yeah. Like he had worked up a lather. Like he was working his butt off, which is great to see.
Yeah, this was a nice response to getting blowed out by Atlanta, and. You know, too bad for Boston losing Jay Crowder. I've got them like plummeting in the East. I think he's their second best player after Isaiah
Thomas.
He'll
be back next week.
They also have, I think, one of the toughest schedules for the rest of the season for the playoff contending teams in the East. And this doesn't help them right now. So they are a fantastic team. They're a well-coached team. They've got a bunch of guys that play hard, but... I think the joyride's over for these guys.
Fair enough.
I think Jordan Hill had a good game off the bench, 7-13, I think 15 points. I think he's been playing well. They've been happy with him for the most part.
I have comments about that later, but whatever.
It's an overall thought.
But it is interesting that he sees more minutes than Miles Turner in this game. I mean, maybe because he was playing well, or maybe because George Hill went to coach and said, the rookie is whining about shots and we're not going to deal with it. Who knows?
Could be.
I guess that's possible. And I guess it should be noted that...
I love wild speculation.
I think it should be noted as well, Ty Lawson's still out. He had his 5 minutes of brilliant play. He's been out for whatever 2 weeks or something since then. So how concerned are we? Like he's been like day to day after like two games. He's supposed to be back. Where is he? Where are they hiding him?
He's a full go. He was in uniform for the Thunder game, but our thought at this point is just we don't want to have what happened to Stucky happen to him, right? You don't want to bring him back too early and end up with some sort of aggravation or even a compensatory injury. So we're being very cautious, which to me says that we really think this guy can help us in the playoffs, which obviously I disagree with. Ty Lawson can't play ball at all. But clearly the coach sees something, and you know, there's no reason for us to change what we're doing right now. My team is on the floor. They're playing pretty good. I think you got to power through some of this stuff. I think it builds some character. And then, you know, the last 10 games of the season or something, you know, you put Ty Lawson in there. Get some floor time so guys know each other. But I think he'll be fine. He's a very, very smart point guard. And he's going to adjust very, very quickly. So I don't think you need to rush him back.
Yeah. It sounds like he'll be back soon, though. I mean, but they're just taking it extra cautiously. So,
all right, I believe you.
Or maybe he's got some contract kicker we don't know about. Shout out ID.
Thursday, March 17th, Pacers take on the second place in the East, Toronto Raptors. Again... lose a close one. This one goes to overtime, actually. Toronto wins 101-94. Pacers are now 1-7 in overtime, which is, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it. They can go the distance. See, I think this is why they should have ties in basketball. George Hill had a great game, 18 points. Bismack Biyombo Solid game. 25 boards from this guy. And I was really impressed with Luis Scola in the beginning of, the game. This guy's, he shoots threes now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been adding something to his game. The old man moves. You don't have to do the old man moves if you can just stand out at the 3-point line. But I like seeing him play. He only got 20 minutes in, but 4 of 10 for him. It was a good game. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Those guys are just fun to watch. 28 points each. So the Raptors. The Raptors are good. Colson, do you think they deserve to be second in the East?
The Raptors are good. They're a good team. They're scrappy. Lowry is really effective. I mean, he's just fast. He's tough. He's the leader on this team. DeMar DeRozan is a really nice piece. I think they've done a nice job of putting this team together, and they deserve to be the second in the East, and I think they're a team to be feared. I don't want to be in the seventh seed. I think they could, you guys, I think, talked last week about maybe Toronto's a team that's unproven in the playoffs, and we could take some games from them when the bright lights come on. But I think they're a really good team. I'm not saying we don't have the talent, but in this game, we kind of struggled down the stretch. We choked away some opportunities, and I do think Jordan Hill was part of the problem, not the solution down the stretch, and that's why
The reason for that is he was freaking exhausted. We didn't have Jan Mahinmi in this game.
Yeah. No, I
LaVoy Allen and Miles Turner got into foul trouble early in the first quarter. He had to play like 20 minutes in the first half.
I agree. I mean, I agree.
I wouldn't blame this on him at all.
I never blame a whole game on one player.
Sure.
That's not what I'm saying. Because it's you win collectively, you lose collectively. But I thought he made some crucial mistakes down the stretch, defensively and offensively.
I know that the first thing that starts to fail you when you get fatigued is the mental parts of the game.
Yeah.
But he definitely had some possessions, Jason, where down the stretch, it was the black hole throwing him into the post, and it should have got out of there, and we needed to rotate the ball around the outside, and
sure. He
failed to do that for us.
Sure.
We can certainly say that's fatigue too, but he has to know better, especially when he's tired, because he's not going to win that matchup.
True.
But certainly not the reason that we lost the game. I agree with that.
Yeah. I would blame Monte Ellis and his misery at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
We're going to put the blame on anybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Got to hit your free throws.
I want to give a special shout out to Solomon Hill in this
game.
Yes. I thought Solomon Hill played fantastic. I thought that he was the reason we even got to overtime, got a chance to go to overtime, hit a couple huge threes.
Huge threes.
Made an awesome steal on Kyle Lowry to get
that
a bucket.
That should have won the game for us.
Yep.
Does he shoot threes now? Like, that was
from the corner.
Apparently.
From the corner.
From the corner.
The other note, Miles Turner just got put in the ringer a few times down the stretch.
He was in a washing machine, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. That one move that Lowry put on him where he hesitated and Miles Turner just fell over like a guy on roller skates.
Honestly didn't even look like a move. Like, the guy's moving so fast. Like, I know it's a move, but it was like a hesitation dribble. And, he was just on his ass.
Literally on his floor, on the floor.
Oh, my God.
This was a really fun, entertaining game until overtime. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, man, overtime was just really painful. Made me grumpy pretty fast.
I mean, we just can't let – I mean, honestly, the difference in this game is Bismack Biyombo. You know DeRozan's going to get his shots up, and he took 26, and we held him to 28 points. We'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
You know Kyle Lowry is going to do a great job because he's a great player. It's a great backcourt. But you can't let Bismack Biyombo go 5 or 6 – and get 16 points on you. You can't have that happen.
Yeah, I don't care if you're 9 offensive rebounds.
9 offensive boards, 25 overall. I don't care if you're playing on freaking Mars. This is at our house, for God's sakes.
He's a solid player. Like, this is why
I agree, he's solid. Solid players don't put up 16 points on 6 shots with 25 boards.
Yeah.
Superstars can barely do that.
Yeah, that's true. You make a point. Yeah.
We got to do a better job. I don't care who's out there. I mean, at that point, I need, George Hill getting out and,
somebody's got to
block. We need 5 guys down there rebounding and doing
a
great job.
Yeah, for sure.
And this was a problem.
And to George Hill's credit, by the way, he did have a couple really good blockouts in this game. I'm not calling him out at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But we need five guys down there doing that.
Yeah. I thought overall, though, that we played – this was a pretty solid effort from these guys. I thought they played hard.
We just ran out of gas.
Yeah, ran out of gas. And I was a little bit disappointed. Paul George took, like, a shot in overtime or something like that, right?
He was so gassed, though.
I guess, yeah.
42 minutes.
Yeah. This was definitely a game that Vogel wanted, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Ellis, Hill, and Paul George all play over 40 minutes in this game.
Sure. Well, and two, I think part of the reason that we wanted it is after this game, we're now 1-2 against them on the season, and our fourth game is on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even looking at a 2 seed, people think about that playoff seeding. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. You don't want to lose series to guys. You know, you may meet them later in the playoffs, and those things can be mental. So,
sure.
It's getting to that time of the year where you got to think about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. If we were to play the playoffs tomorrow, this would be our matchup.
Yep. And you do not want them in your head. So now all we got to do is go out and win one in Toronto, which I think we can do. So that game happens on Friday mm-hmm. the 8th, and you can chalk that up as a W.
Yeah. I think we match up well with this team.
I do, too.
So, you know, there's a nice head-to-head, you know, in a playoff series, you would just put Paul George on DeRozan the whole game.
Sure, sure.
And then figure out things from there. But
yeah.
Or maybe Lowry, actually. Yeah. That guy is the engine that makes that place run, that team run.
That team was without Damari Carroll in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And having him back adds something pretty big. Like I'm pretty sure if you ask the Toronto coaching staff how big a miss not having Carroll is, they're going to tell you it's a huge deal.
Yeah. They were also without Jonas Valanciunas. So.
Right. Which would have been a better matchup for us probably. So
yeah.
Probably didn't hurt him that bad. But.
I don't know if anyone mentioned, we had Shane Whittington got a couple minutes in the second quarter. The big guys, a lot of foul trouble. So, he'd been recently reactivated from the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, so there are a couple good minutes in there. Shot a three, which I was not a fan of, but
which shockingly he did not hit.
Yeah,
yeah, but he was a plus one in his 3.5 minutes. So good on you, Shane Whittington.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's a win then.
That's a win.
Saturday, March 19th, Pacers play their fourth game of the week. Oklahoma City comes to Indiana. This one. It was a heartbreaker. 115-111. OKC wins. I'll tell you what, I was in the house there. A lot of OKC jerseys there.
What?
A lot of them. A lot of them.
There can't be that many people that lived in Oklahoma City and could legitimately claim that as their team.
A lot of Westbrook and Durant jerseys. You know, these two guys, both of them, they're putting up every night there. They're putting up numbers. KD puts 33, 13 boards. Paul George, amazing game, 45 points, 7 boards. I don't even think he came out in the fourth quarter. I think they just played him straight through. He was clearly tired, but he was still hitting shots. Had a couple late threes. He started getting going again in the fourth quarter. But just not enough.
Do you think he hits that late three if he has a little more rest, or that's just one of those things? It's just percentages.
I don't know.
Do you think he was gassed by the end? I mean,
well,
he definitely was. But
he got a minute and a half of rest in the second half.
Yeah, but you know, any one shot is 35-40% to go from three anyway. So
yeah,
he hit the one before it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
So that guarantees Coulson that he wouldn't hit this one. Do the math, buddy.
Math is hard.
Yeah, this game was brutal. I thought we, again, great effort against a really, really good team here. Would love to come away with a victory, but just didn't have enough in the tank. And really, I think it was more so that Durant and Westbrook are just so much to deal with. Like, Durant is, he can get any shot that he wants at any point. He can shoot over everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Any shot is his shot, because Oh, fun fact. I learned that they list him at 6'9".
Yeah, yeah.
Not true. No. He's a 7-footer with 25-foot range.
Yeah, he towers over Paul George, who is 6'9". Another fun fact about KD, he has now scored over 20 points in something like 57 straight games or something like that, which is the second time in his career that he's had a streak of more than 50 games scoring over 20 points. There are only two other dudes in NBA history that have done that. Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan.
What?
Like, this dude is an epic talent and an epic scorer in this league. And he showed it.
Yes.
Against the Pacers.
Yes, he did. And Russell Westbrook, really good game from him. He triple dubs on us, but we forced 7 turnovers. We held him to really poor shooting. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, man to man, we did a pretty good job on the guy, considering what a talent he is. And you know they're going to get just a ton of protection out of their backcourt. The guy who kills me, and I don't know, maybe I'm just overreacting because of the Biombo thing, but Enes Kanter. Why was that dude eating us up in the fourth quarter in this game? Like, the margins when you're coming down the stretch against teams like this, you know, you got to shut down the guys not named Durant and Westbrook. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Yep.
And you can't let a guy like Kanter go off on you.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good offensive guy, but yeah, his activity on the glass, you know, he had a double-double in this game.
10 boards in 23 minutes, especially down the stretch. He had a couple putbacks that were just killers.
Just killers, yep.
I think it maybe should be mentioned that the OKC bench outscores the Pacer bench 45-14.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, where's Ty Lawson? God damn it.
Yeah, totally. This is just one of those ones. Would have been nice to have him. I mean, Stucky had a really good game. Perfect 4-4 night, 8 points. George Hill was 6-10 with 9 dimes. Really good games. But Westbrook, you just got to make that guy work, right? And the more jerseys that you can throw at that guy so that he has to guard on the defensive end, which he will do, the better off you're going to be come the fourth quarter. This one could have gone either way. You just hope when you're at home they go your way. And the other thing, too, man, we just couldn't get a bounce in this one. There were so many shots that were in and out, chippies that got missed. It was just one of those games. It just wasn't our night, and we lost by 4 points to
the three. And on the flip side, Oklahoma City hit a couple, like, 35-foot three-pointers or something like that.
Yeah. Westbrook did that.
Just insane.
Like, Durant does that, you're like, okay, maybe.
And then freaking Randy Foy hit one from like 30 feet.
Right. Yeah, Foy, no, Randy Foy. How is this guy, like, I don't know. How is he still in the league? How is he helping
really
them this much?
I'm angry about this.
I did. Randy Foy, I thought that guy was out of the league like 3 years ago. How is he still helping like one of the top 5 teams in the league? This is, and was like, it really hurt us.
NBA?
Really hurt us in this game, I thought.
That's why he's in the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, good for him. I'm not mad at him. I'm mad that I didn't see it coming, maybe.
You are kind of mad at
him. I'm mad at myself. I'm disappointed as an analyst that I didn't
for not
see that coming.
A 35-footer from Randy Foy.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel somewhere has got a scotch in one hand.
Yeah,
like,
that's
damn
on
it.
You.
Why didn't we guard Foy at 30?
Yeah, this was another game where, the bench played so horribly in the first half that Frank didn't even trust him in the second half. So I think our guys got worn out down the stretch, which hurts. George, we haven't mentioned George Hill. This was one of the best games that George Hill played this season. He was super aggressive early on, forcing the action against Westbrook. And I thought played quite well defensively, as well as you can against a dude like Westbrook. But yeah, just not enough in the end. Disappointing.
And what a wasted effort. I mean, Paul George was just elite in this game, and it just sucks to waste a 45-point effort.
Mm-hmm.
He only had 2 turnovers. I mean, to score 45 points, 4 dimes in the thing, and play the way that he played, only have 2 turnovers, and you still don't win? I mean, what do you got to do?
Yeah, no, I think everybody in the locker room probably owes him a steak, except maybe George Hill. Like, I mean, he really, you know, this is a game we should have won. And the bench didn't step up, you know. You got to have your guys play well. When you're playing that well, everybody else has just got to do a little bit extra. You get that win.
Sure. Is CJ Miles dead? Is he going to contribute to this team at any point?
Do you think Bird's experiment killed him?
Could be. But, I don't know. He doesn't look right at all.
No, well, also, he's a shooter who's not getting minutes.
Right.
Which, how much success is he going to have if he can't get into a rhythm?
Not a lot. Not a lot at all. But that's disappointing because he's a nice weapon for us. And we're just straight up not using him.
Well, we're playing Paul George 40 minutes a night, and we're not finding space for him. I mean, we're finding room for LaVoy Allen, Solomon Hill. Like, can he eat some of those minutes up? Like, can we give him the minutes to get hot? Because we need his scoring.
Yep. I agree.
I did not think that at this point in the season, we'd be having the CJ Miles, Solomon Hill, who gets the minutes debate. Like, yep. I did not see that coming, and that may be a thing.
Yep. Well, and yeah, and kudos to Solo. I mean, he's working his butt off, and
sure.
he's playing good defense, really, and it's hard to keep him off the floor, but he can't score like CJ
Miles.
Yeah,
it's not
Miles
that hard
score.
To keep him off the floor.
Yeah. Well, but if you're Vogel, you'd love that. So.
Sure, yeah.
I think Miles can't defend like Solomon Hill. Like, Solomon Hill, right now, he's like the instant defense. You just throw him in against,
yep.
you know, the
that's
you
true.
Know, the 1, 2, or 3 that you're having trouble with. And his only job is to shut that guy down, and he'll do it.
And you want to reward effort, and he's clearly working harder right now.
I don't care as much about that as just winning ball games, you know, instead of just rewarding effort. Like, you put the better player out there. You know, it's sort of a give and take, offense versus defense. And, you know, Vogel, I think, is making the decision that defense is, in these situations, defense is more important.
He clearly believes that defense in the second unit is more important than offense.
Yep.
I guess that my thing with where we are in the season is that our bench has been atrocious.
I think I disagree with that. I think what he decides is more important is effort. I really do believe that he's interested in creating a culture. And the way you do that is rewarding that effort.
I'll take the points.
No, I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I don't think he thinks that he's putting Solomon Hill in there because of defense. I think he thinks he's putting him in there because he's working harder. I agree with you.
Right, and he provides a spark or whatever, brings some energy to the game. Gets
yeah, and if you and if everybody does that, then we're going to win more ball games. I mean, that's what you want to create,
that leads to points.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it hasn't seemed that infectious on the bench so far. So
yeah, I mean, I'm a huge CJ Miles fan. So get him some minutes.
All right. Well, let's see what kind of minutes CJ is going to get this week. Pacers get to get things right this week, boys.
Yeah!
That soft schedule that we've been talking about for a while now, it has arrived. Monday, March 21st, we host the Philadelphia 76ers, who are 9 and God knows
many,
how many.
Many losses.
9 of the rest of them.
Yes.
Thursday, March 24th. Another home game hosting the Anthony Davis-less New Orleans Pelicans. That game's on NBA TV, for those of you that
it was. Yank that thing.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Awesome.
Saturday, March 26th, at the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm.
And then Sunday, March 27th, back in Indiana, hosting James Harden and the Houston Rockets. And we owe them a freaking win, because Joey and I went all the way to Houston, and they freaking lost.
Jerks. So they asked Vogel about the easy remaining schedule, and he said, it's better than having the hardest schedule. But now we have to go out and win those games. Teams that we're playing don't have the best records, but upsets happen all the time. We really have to take care of our business. So let's take care of business, Vogel.
We do have to take care of our business.
Yeah.
Because as it is right now, the Pacers are, I think we're still 7th in the East. We're a mere half game ahead of Chicago and a half game ahead of Detroit.
How is this happening? I thought the team from last year, I thought were so much better than they, like the last year's Pacers team. And they just, you know, the last year they just missed the playoffs.
That team should have made the playoffs. Shit. And this team should have made the playoffs as well. And they will. I Goodwill Hunting, you know, whatever. Rain Man. I did a bunch of numbers on my hostess stand.
Those are your superheroes, Goodwill Hunting.
Those are my math geniuses, I guess. I don't know a lot of
beautiful minded it.
Yeah, beautiful minded it up. I've decided that the Pacers are going to be in the sixth seed. We're going to play Miami. You can book it. And I think I alluded to it earlier. Boston's going to fall to the seventh seed. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and bet your money on it now.
Yeah, Pacer Nation. I've already prepared for the Miami matchup. I'm with you.
Yep. You said the seventh seed for Boston?
Yeah.
What are you drinking this week, buddy?
Yeah, I am drinking my favorite. This is credit to Jennifer Drinkwater, who just had a birthday on the Ides of March. Templeton Rye out of Iowa.
Apparently wasn't drinking water.
And it is delicious. She didn't bring that to me. She's the one who introduced it to me. Kyle's best friend, Audie, brought that over specifically for the pod. She wanted me to drink something fun on the pod. So,
shout out
to Audie and to Drinkwater.
And a Templeton Rye.
Mm-hmm.
This week I'm drinking from Bloomington, the Helios Pale Ale. I'd like to get the some of the pale ales in the spring. That puts me in the mood for some rain and soggy weather. I think that's nice. Mm. JT, what's good on the East Coast?
I'm sipping on a cab.
Sure, that works.
Sonoma.
California cab.
I don't know. I don't have the bottle with me. Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. Indian Wells, maybe? Is that a thing?
Yeah, potentially. For sure. It's a good one at that. This week, I am on a Hop Valley Brew. There's no reason to not be local because I live in Eugene. It's a Proxima IPA.
Mm.
Tasty to my palate.
That sounds good.
You need to bring some of that when you come out for UndebeetaCon. Sounds delicious. All right.
I'll bring out some Alpha Centauri, too. They love the stellar names for their beers. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Anything else this week, gentlemen, before we zip it up?
Let's sweep the week. Let's do it. Let's sweep the week.
I think we should do that for sure.
Yeah. We definitely need to.
That.
It would be rude not to.
It's time.
We need to throw some W's in a row. And you're saying you said the sixth seed?
But to do that, we have to win all these.
You think Brad Stevens is going to let his team fall four spots?
I don't think he's going to let them. I think they're going to play harder teams, and Jay Crowder's out for another week. So,
all right. We'll see how it goes. Well, until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. We are on TheUndebeatables.com. That's our website. There's a contact form. You can send us all a message. We got one this week. It was good. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale on the website.
Yeah, so speaking of that message, we super fan Greg Clark, the beekeeper, badass bee company, wrote in and mentioned apparently during the halftime show of halftime show. Is that what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of which game?
The Boston game.
The Boston game. Yeah, because we wore the Hickory jerseys. They honored honored the Milan team, and Greg's old science teacher or math teacher, Dr. Schroeder, was on the floor, and apparently Greg had heard earlier while he was a student in high school that Schroeder was a member of that team, and that's really cool. So thanks for bringing that up to us, Greg. It was great that we honored the Milan team. Even though we're wearing Hickory jerseys, not Milan jerseys. And on top of that, we also, last week, the week before, honored the Christmas Addicts team. And I think you guys mentioned we don't have to talk about it anymore, which is cool. But Mark Monteith is doing a show on the Christmas Addicts Tigers called Dropping In Thursday on WFYI on your local Indiana PBS station. So check it out. And for once and always, Coach Bobby Slick Leonard, turn out the lights. The party's over.
That was surprisingly soothing.
Everyone's a snowflake.
I don't know what that means.
Do you drink faster when you bounce?
I don't know, maybe. Or slower. Yeah,
we'll throw up faster.
That seems clear.
All right, I can't look at him. How do we do this?
I'm just going to cover him up with my...
I'll try to stop bouncing. I'll just try to stop bouncing.
Luckily, he's in my top right, so I can just whoop.
Yeah. Just put a post-it note over him.
That's what I mean. All right.
Yeah, but you've been doing that for months.
Right, that's true.
Your camera's never been actually on.
I snuck in there and sprayed black spray paint, like, last time to beat a cat.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.